There's a couple of things you said, Sue. One of them was that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You know, there's a promise in that song, and I don't know about y'all, but I would imagine that the struggle most people run into is the struggle to extricate themselves from the world. Amen. The influence of the world, I should say. We have to be in it. We're commanded not to be of it. Amen. So it's not that we are to go be hermits and hide somewhere and never have interaction with those in the world. It's that we are to be different and shine the light of Jesus in the world. And how do you do that? Well, the promise of the song is that turn your eyes on Jesus and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Amen. Now, the point of that is that the more you focus on Christ and His will and accomplishing that, the less important everything else is. Now, as you grow in the Lord, and if you seek counsel, and if you are in discipleship, you will know exactly what I'm referring to. Because the things I thought were so important 5 years ago are no longer important. The more you submit yourself to the direction of the Holy Ghost, and you turn your eyes on Jesus, the more important His will is to you than anything else. Amen. It's just going to be the way it is. One of the things Sue and I were talking about yesterday is the stark contrast between the gospel we preach and the gospel that is preached in the so-called church today. I know a lot of people that claim to be Christians that, you know, they'll talk about God and going to church and having faith and et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes down to it, when you really hear what they're saying, everything they're talking about is about God's service to them. The idea of their service to God doesn't enter into the equation. And you can see this in the natural. I mean, who do you work for if you have a job? Do you go to your job with the thought that they owe you? Do you go to the job thinking that you are somehow entitled to that position or to that pay or whatever it is? Do you go there with the thinking and mindset that they work for you? Because my interaction with people that work, you know, typical jobs is just that. They could care less, or they couldn't care less, of the bottom line of the business, or the health of the business, or really the customers that the business supports. I mean, all they're about is that paycheck at the end of the week, and if it bleeds the company dry, they don't care. They don't understand that their attitude is actually cutting themselves off. Whether you realize it or not, that's the attitude of most Christians today, so-called, I should say. The apostate church. I was sitting in a restaurant yesterday and I was listening to, oh my goodness, it was, I guess, typical, I don't know, but there was a woman there and she was just up one side and down the other of her husband like I have not heard in a long time. And I was flabbergasted. But it further demonstrated to me exactly where most people that call themselves Christians are. There was no respect of the authority. There was no understanding of the position. There was no love. Just bossy, 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 bossy. I listen to Christians today. Again, I say Christians so-called because they're really not. And their whole attitude is about God's service to them and his failure or lack thereof many times. God, why did you let this happen? That's not how things should be. No, see, we serve at his pleasure. I serve God at his pleasure. Not he to mine. That's taken me a lot of years to get to that place. It's taken a lot of frustration. It's taken a lot of just, you know, beating against the air in directions of unprofitability over and over and over to finally realize that, man, this is not the way to go. See, the way to go and the way to be successful, I'm not talking about successful in business, although that may be a function of it, it may be a part of it, if that's what God has for you, but the way to be successful is simply to submit to God. The way to be successful in Jesus is to cease from your own works and do his. Now, you're going to have to work that out. There's no 10-step program. There's a 1-step program, believe. But how that's going to manifest and how that's going to work and how that's going to impact you and relate to you personally, you're going to have to work that out and you're going to have to care. Oh, I almost said a bad word. You're going to have to give a care about doing it. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to figure out how to make that transition from serving yourself to serving God. I'd like you to turn to James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members? He's talking to Christians, so-called now. He's talking to believers, quote-unquote. You guys can't see the air quotes I'm doing. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war and ye have not because ye ask not. Steve and I were talking a little bit this morning about benefactors. You know, a benefactor is someone that basically takes care of all your needs. You know, we have a benefactor. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you're doing as he's called you to do, guess what? He's going to take care of you. Now, you may not see how that's going to happen. You may not understand how that's going to happen. But I believe it was Philip who was just talking. Abraham didn't see how God was going to work this thing out with him killing his son Isaac and sacrificing Isaac. He didn't understand the specifics of how that was going to be accomplished, but the Bible testifies that he believed one thing, and that was knowing that the promise was to be through Isaac, God would have to raise him from the dead. That is the testimony of Abraham. And he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness because he had gotten to the place through years of learning that God was trustworthy And he did not have to doubt. And if God said the promise was through his son Isaac, then guess what? The promise was through his son Isaac. He didn't understand it. He just moved in faith and obedience. You know, there's a thing, and I understand where it gets fuzzy for some Christians. I understand where it gets hard for people to get it, because the Bible says you have all these do's and then it has all these don'ts and it just works. And look, I get it. I understand why you get flustered. Let me make it simple for you. If you're doing the works to justify yourself, you're in the law. If you're believing God and walking in obedience, the works demonstrate your faith. See, one is inside out and the other is outside in. See, there's many, many people that do all the stuff on the outside, think it's going to fix the inside. Let me tell you, if the inside's right, the outside's going to be right anyway. It's not complicated. You can complicate it, but it's not complicated. All right, back here. Let's see. Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. See, is this not the testimony of a self-centric, a man-centric people? It's all about them. It's all about them. What they want. Let's put it into perspective. This is what Jesus, well, in this case, James says through the Holy Ghost. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? The enemy of God. See, if you claim to be a Christian, you are going to have to make some choices here. And really the choice is, are you going to remain lost thinking you're not scary? Or are you going to repent, humble yourself, and learn to put Jesus first? See, you cannot live for yourself and live for God. Won't work. Because you're going to wind up just living for yourself. It's the way it is. It's the way it's going to happen. And you may get angry. You may be so frustrated that you want to just rip things apart. Let me tell you, I've lived in a place where if there was a pressure cap and 10 blows the cap, I lived at a 9.8. And anything, I wanted to be violent, just angry and just destroy and rip things apart. If that's where you're living, the reason you're there is because you haven't given up yet. So you're still trying to wedge your will into the equation, and it is never, ever, 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 ever going to work. Let me tell you from lots of experience, it will not work. If that is where you are, just go. God's never going to justify you in that position. It is never, ever, ever, ever going to work. This is not going to work. You're going to have to choose to either just say, you know what, I quit. And I mean quit trying to do God's thing, or quit doing God's thing. Go do your own thing. Just go do it. Be honest with yourself. I don't want to do your thing, God. I'm out. Or get on your knees, repent, and just give up. Oh, I can tell you of the wonderful deliverance of what giving up does. I surrender. My father and I, we were at war for many years. It wasn't on his part. It was all on me. I don't put anything on him. And I remember specifically the day. I remember in South Carolina, I had just gotten married. I was trying to find any way, any possible way of not going to that revival trip in Vermont. I mean, I just got married. I had all these responsibilities and things. And he said, pulled me aside. He said, look, you're going. He said some other things to me I don't think are appropriate to say here. He said, you're going. And right there, right at that point, was probably the biggest fork in the road for my life ever. Because it was going to be, am I going to keep fighting and stay angry and be miserable? Or am I just going to surrender? And thank God, I just surrendered. Amen. And there are times yet I still have to come to a place and I surrender. But because I have that experience of knowing what it was like to live in that state and knowing the freedom on the other side of just stop trying to do your thing and do God's thing. Let him be God. You're not God. Because I have that experience of what that is on the other side, let me tell you what, today I am way quicker to surrender. Way quicker. Because I know that to continue to fight to do my thing, if God's not in it, why do I want to have anything to do with it? Amen. That's a hard, man, I tell you, that's a hard thing in the flesh to sort of wrap yourself around, but who cares? Mm-hmm. Who cares what this flesh thinks? Who cares what this flesh feels? It ain't going to heaven. And I certainly don't want it to drag me to hell either. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, see, if you are trying to wedge your will in there and force your way, you might as well call yourself what you are. See, when you accepted Christ, you took on his name in the same way a spouse takes on a wife takes on the name of her husband. And if she goes out and she cheats, she's what? She's a whore. When you commit to serve Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you're doing. You're committing to serve Jesus. And you take on his name, Christian. And then when you go and do your own thing and try and do your own thing and justify it 16 ways till Sunday, guess what? You're a whore. As far as God's concerned, you're a whore. And if you have any question about it, just go read the Old Testament. This is not a new concept. You get into the prophets, you see very clearly what Israel did, how they did it, and what God thought of it. And eventually, he cut them off. God doesn't change, folks. Do you think the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That's that carnal man. Guess what? It hates God. Hates him. But, and that's a pretty grim look, right? That's some dark clouds. Now here's the sunshine. But, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Giveth grace to the humble. So what? You've been beating your fists against the wall. So what? You've been angry. So what? You've been trying to do your thing, and despite all of your efforts and frustration, you just get more angry, and you get more angry and more frustrated. So what? Stop! Just stop. Stop. Grace is there. Grace is right there. God's help is right there. His provision is right there. His love is right there. His hand is right there. Just stop. Get on your knees and humble yourself. Say, God, I'm wrong. You're right. And let His grace wash over you. Watch as instantly He can transform all that frustration into peace. Why? Because you're not at war with Him anymore. You see, when God says He resists the proud, God's foot is against the door. You are not going to open it. You are not going to succeed in it. Because He is resisting you. If Pharaoh and his army could not resist God, who are you? But, He giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. To God. How does that look in today? How does that look in our ministry? That is, you repent to God because that's who's the guy you've offended. You haven't offended me. You haven't offended Brother Davey, maybe, Steve, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that ultimately your offense is to God. You repent to Him. And then you find that authority that you're under and you say, please help me. And then you do what they tell you to do. You take that advice, that instruction, as the Word of God, without filtering it through your intellect, without filtering it through your grand what if I don't understand scenarios. Because guess what? You're right. You don't understand. That's why you are where you are in the first place. What makes you think now all of a sudden you're the grand knower of all things? You're not. You're just as ignorant as you were 5 seconds ago. The difference is that if you stop and you submit and you surrender and you seek that counsel that God in His Word promises to give it to you. King David, when he needed counsel, did he insist on God showing up? No, he went to the priest. He knew where to go. And guess what? God showed up. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that resistance isn't, oh, please stop. The resistance is like, guess what? He has occupied territory in your life. You are going to have to drive him out. A resistance movement is there is an uninvited force in a territory, and there are fighters that fight against that until it is gone. That is to resist the devil. And you do that by faith. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. It's not a joke. It's not a game. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is your very life. And not just your life here, but your eternal life is at risk at this very moment. It hangs in the balance right now. And if that isn't the most serious thing that you have ever had to deal with, I don't know what is. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now look at this next part. And all of that to get to this. Because let me tell you, a red flag that you can have, that can be a warning sign, a trigger, something to let you know if you're serving yourself or serving God. And I guarantee you, some of you aren't going to like it. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, ye will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you see the difference? Who do you serve? See, if you serve at the pleasure of God, if you serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ, you will never go do a thing without checking with Him first. Think of that for a moment. You're not going to make decisions about what you're going to do and where you're going to do it and how you're going to do it and with whom you're going to do it with without checking with Him first. Why? Because you recognize that your time, your money, and your very life don't belong to you. They belong to Him. I understand that that is a very unpopular way to look at things. But I don't care if you think it's unpopular. I don't care if you don't like it. It is the truth, however. And you can choose to stay frustrated. You can choose to stay angry. And you can choose to stay lost. And try and kid yourself that you're not. Or you can humble yourself. Receive the grace of God. Submit to His word and to His line of authority that is there to represent Him and His love. I mean, gosh, talk about which side you want to go. I mean, there's death, destruction, hell, turmoil, or grace, peace, love, and life. I don't know which way I want to go. Actually, I know exactly which way I want to go. The fact that this body, this carnal man, doesn't like it, I don't care. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, so this is a hard message. But like everything in the Bible, where there's a hardness, there is also a deliverance if you take it. If you take it. And for all of you that are struggling and you're frustrated, you've made choices, gone and done things, maybe even operated in obedience initially, and then it wasn't what you expected, and now you're frustrated. Look, God hasn't brought you where He's brought you to have you fail. Have we not been taught that? Amen. See, you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to just drill down. Is God faithful? You have to ask yourself that question, and you have to answer it honestly. Is God faithful? And if you say yes, then where is the fighting? Where is the warring? Where is the continued frustration? Where is the rebellion? Where is all that? Where? See, if you believe God is faithful, then anything that tells you otherwise, you're going to reject. And you're going to believe God. You're going to trust Him. You may not understand it, and I guarantee you, you won't understand it. You're not going to see the glory of God's deliverance until you're already on the other side of it. Just look at Scripture. That's how it works, guys. I mean, they get to the other side of the Red Sea, and they look back and say, oh, that was cool. They certainly didn't have that perspective on this side of the Red Sea. But if you believe God's faithful, Red Sea, no Red Sea, Pharaoh's army, whatever, whatever it is, God's bigger. If you believe that, what is there that can... what is there that can defeat you? Get rid of all those things that tell you otherwise, because they're just there to drag you to hell. And I don't want to see you go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. And I don't want my family to go to hell. And as the head of a household, see, you play a very distinct role, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not. But you and your decisions and your demonstration of faith and trust in God is going to have a direct impact on your family. If you say you love God, and you, well, let me back up. If you say you love your wife and you say you love your children, and you choose not faith in God, realize you may not just be dragging yourself to hell, but your whole family with you. On the other side, if you do choose faith in God, and you do demonstrate submitting to God and humbling yourself before God, if you do demonstrate that, you give them the best possible hope of making it. I'm done.